Amen. Amen. Well, God's grace, his mercy, and his peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus, who is and always will be the Christ. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my lips and the meditation of all of our hearts will be good and pleasing in your sight, our Lord, our Rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. Well, Happy New Year. Thank you. Thank you. It's a great way to start the new year with rain and just a beautiful day. Not beautiful in the way, you know, a lot of people think of beautiful, but beautiful in the way that we need it, you know, rain. It's just a little different. It's cloudy. It's rainy. It's not like, you know, Pasadena on Rose Bowl day where it's always sunshiny and glorious. It's a, you know, a little bit different. I like that. I'm one of the rare people who likes rainy and cloudy days here in Arizona sometimes, not 360 days like my wife would say in Michigan, but you know, every once in a while it's nice to have something a little different. Now, as Mike stole my opening line from my sermon, I'm still going to use it though. So the cliche thing for me to do this morning would be to ask you to start the sermon, what's your New Year's resolution? You know, a lot of churches, that's what you do. You say, hey, what's your New Year's resolution? Then I'll give you a TED talk on how to make, you know, New Year's resolutions. And, you know, then we'll be out of here and go to watch the football games or whatever we want to do today. But that, you know, that's the cliche thing to do. But I'm still going to ask it even though I'm saying it's cliche. So, you know, I hope you catch that. What's the thing you want to change in your life? There are all sorts of things that, you know, we want to do differently. And for me, the questions aren't so much what, but why. I like the why questions. You know, there's all sorts of things that influence the people we want to be and the decisions we want to make and the actions we want to take in the new year. Maybe when you stepped on the scale this morning or your doctor told you to cut out red meat or sodium or, you know, something like that, you decided, you know what, I need to put into plan and place an exercise regimen or eat differently. If you've been watching TV the last couple of days, I don't know if you've noticed, but Peloton has spent a lot of money and so has Ally. And so I've noticed a lot of Hydroxycut. I've noticed in the last 2 days, I hadn't seen any of these commercials in the last 360 days, but in the last 2 or 3 days, I've seen Hydroxycut, Peloton, a ton of commercials for, you know, Planet Fitness, all sorts of things. I wonder what they're trying to tell us. Perhaps there's a particular sin. We talked about that just a moment ago in our confession. Perhaps there's a particular sin that's affecting your marriage, your work, or your relationships and the people around you that God's put on your heart that you need to seek help for this year. You know, maybe it's something that you're going through or something that you're doing that you say, you know, 2023 is going to be a year of victory. It's going to be a year of freedom. It's going to be a year where I finally overcome that. The Lord gives me the strength to overcome that thing in my life that's been shackling me all these years. Maybe you've been searching for fulfillment in something or someone that you found won't satisfy. Maybe you've been devoting all your time to work or to something specific and, you know, you said, you know what, this year I'm going to devote my time to my health. I'm going to devote my time to my wife or my husband or my family or my kids or my grandkids. This year's going to be different. Someone once told me that goals are just dreams with deadlines attached to them. You know, so think about that. A goal is just a dream with a deadline attached to it. So a dream says, hey, someday I want to write the next great American novel, or someday I want to lose 50 pounds, or someday I want to accomplish so-and-so, or I want to get that promotion, or I want to do this, this, or this. A goal is saying by December 31st, 2023, I'm going to have taken these steps to accomplish, you know, losing 10 pounds or getting that promotion or writing the next great American novel or fill in the blank of what your goal is. You notice the difference? It's the words. It's they're worded differently. Words are important. Words have power, and that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about words. As Christians, words are kind of important to us. That's why I hate to say it. I know I'm you know, telling you something that's going to shock you, but church can sometimes be boring, right? Sometimes church can be boring because church isn't about flash. It's not about, you know, graphics and, you know, computer generated and all that kind of stuff. Church is about words. You get up and you hear a guy like me talk and share a whole bunch of words with you. But words are important for Christians. It's where we find our hope and our meaning. Some religions use experience, feelings, the direction a crow flies before we go to a battlefield, the alignment of the stars, vortexes, or crystals to find our hope and our meaning and our direction in life. But Christians don't. We go to a book. We go to words. It's why we send students like Tanner, who we met and we had here last week, to go to school at seminary to learn the Bible, to learn words, because that's where we go to find our hope. The psalm says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And Jesus says, "A wise man builds his house upon the rock." And in doing so, he equates the wise man with the one who builds his life's foundation on Jesus and God's words, rather than the world's words. Words are the reason that church members come up to pastors and say, "Pastor, how come such and such church down the street is doing so and so, such and such, XYZ thing, even though the Bible tells us that it's wrong? How can they do that and still call themselves Christians?" That's the importance of words. So in light of that, I ask you this. What's your favorite part of speech? You didn't expect that one this morning, did you? You probably expected the what's your New Year's resolution, but you didn't ask me to ask you what's your favorite part of speech. I know it's a weird question, especially because our world is all abuzz about pronouns right now. The terms he, she, they, them, it can be dizzying. And today's not a sermon where I'm going to rag on people and pronouns and things like that. But I do bring it up for a reason. You know, you go to Apple. I went to Apple store a couple of weeks ago, and I saw that the employee there at the Apple store had their pronouns written on their name badge so that I would call them by their preferred pronoun that they wanted. But see, here's the thing. The problem isn't the pronoun itself. Pronouns aren't. They're whatever. They're not a big deal. They're not right or wrong. They're words. But the problem is what the pronoun is tied to that causes so much fuss. Because personally, I like adjectives. I don't know about you, but I like adjectives. Adjectives for me, those are the thing. If I were to pick some adjectives, here's what I would pick. I'd pick responsible, tough, brave, courageous. I know tough, brave, and courageous are all kind of the same, but I like putting them all in there. Tough, brave, courageous, strong, faithful. Yeah, those are my adjectives. What would your adjectives be? Those are my adjectives. I'd want those on my name tag so that whenever you talk to me, you come up and say, "Hey, Pastor, the strong, brave, tough, faithful, responsible one." Yeah, you're the one I'm talking about. The problem is, those are the adjectives I want. Those aren't always the adjectives I feel. Most of 2022, I felt weak, timid, inadequate, worthless, and stupid. Those are the adjectives that bounce around here in my head. Those are the words that I often feel describe me the best. And as I think about our world today and the fight that we have over pronouns, I think that a lot of times it comes down not to pronouns themselves, but rather to adjectives. It's not so much the pronouns we're fighting, but the adjectives connected to the pronouns. Men don't feel tough or strong. Women don't feel compassionate or gentle the way that they think that they're supposed to. And sometimes men may feel strong, may feel gentle and calming and compassionate. Women may feel strong. And that's not a problem, but when we hear those voices either in our culture, in our minds, telling us we're broken or we're wrong for feeling that way, kind of like the adjectives I told you a moment ago I hear, that's when we have the problem. That's when we go searching for a new identity, because the problem really isn't the pronouns, it's our identity. Which takes me back to the very beginning. What's your New Year's resolution? What is it that guides your life? Not so much what, as much as the question of why did you choose that New Year's resolution? I'm not a what guy, I'm a why guy. I want to find out the why behind the what. Why? What are you chasing after? What is it that you're trying, that's causing you to want to change those things in your life? Take a moment to think about that today. And so here's one more weird question. What's your preposition? Because in our readings today in John chapter 1, and if you got your own Bibles, I want to encourage you to pull it out. If you got your Bible app on your phone, pull it out in your Bible. John chapter 1:1 is where we're going to hang out today for a few minutes. Today we see some important prepositions and adjectives and identity statements that God gives us. John 1:1-3, it says this: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him." John 1:4 says, "In him was life, and that life was the light of men." Did you catch what those two verses said? Well, actually, technically four verses, what those two sections said. Chapter 3 said, "All things were made through him." Jesus was around before time began. We think of Christmas, Jesus was born as a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. No, he wasn't born in the manger, he was placed in the manger, but he was born as a baby in Bethlehem, and there he was. But here what we hear in this passage is that Jesus was around before time began. He's the master craftsman who put all the glorious wonder of our world together. The Grand Canyon, Sedona, all the beautiful things you see, our own bodies, every blessed thing that we see around us, Jesus put together. We often think that God created the universe, and he did, you know, as a part of the Holy Trinity. But Scripture says that it was actually Jesus who was the one who did these things. God was the architect, the owner of the company, if you will. Jesus was the foreman who went down onto the job site. And actually, when it says God said, "Let there be light," Jesus is the Word we just heard that went out and said, "There is light." When God said, "Let the earth teem with animals," Jesus was the one who put the animals out there. When God said these things, Jesus was the one who put them out there. So we see that all the world was made through him. And then in him, another preposition, was life. That life brings light to mankind. Not only does life come through Jesus, but he gives life and light. Just like the psalm that I mentioned a few minutes ago, Jesus gives life to our path and lights our way as we go into the new year and the future. So we go on a bit. John chapter 1 verse 12 says this: "To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God." Sometimes we get so used to hearing that those passages, and we've heard them so many times that it kind of, you know, is numb, you know, especially when we got football games and, you know, parties and things that we're thinking about and playing. So I want to take a moment to read it again. I encourage you to hear it again. "To all those who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And, you know, I've always learned that if your mama says something twice, it means it's probably pretty important, right? Yeah, some of you are shaking your heads. If mama has to repeat herself, it means it's important. So let's see what Jesus has to say through the Apostle Paul in a different passage. Galatians 3, verse 26 through 27 says, "For in Christ you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Think about that. How many young people in our world, maybe you and I were those young people, maybe you and I are those young people who were or are searching for identity, thinking, well, if I just grab this, if I get that career, if I get that promotion, if I get that husband or wife, if I have those kids, if I get that house with the white picket fence, if I, then I'll be complete. 2023 is the year that I'm going to be complete because I'm going to ... How often do we beat ourselves up and wrestle with who we are, why we are the way we are, when we want to be different or better, and why we're not better? When here, these verses say that the creator of the world, the one who placed the stars in the sky, the one who made the earth teem with animals, the one who put the water where it is, the land where it is, the mountains where they are, painted the rocks of Sedona and painted the rocks of the Grand Canyon, the one who did all of those things says, "You are my son. What identity is more important than that? Oh, but I want to know, I want my friends to really think highly of me. I know. I want my boss to think highly. I want my boss to think I'm those adjectives I described earlier. I know. I want so-and-so. I want this. I want that. I know. The creator of the universe says that you are his son and daughter and child. He loves you more than you can ever fathom. Think about that. I know we've got some parents and some grandparents in this room. Think about your love for your own children and grandchildren today. Look at God's love through the lens of your own love. Think about the depth of that love that you have and the depth of his love for you. In fact, here it says, not only does it say, or actually in the earlier verse in John, it says, not only that the guy who designed the world and the foreman who put it together says that if we believe in him, we're his children. He also says, you don't have to earn it. You're his child, even if you don't get that promotion this year. You're his child, even if you don't check all the boxes this year. You're his child, even when you fail. You're his child, even when you succeed. You're his child, no matter what. It says that he gave the right, in verse 12, to become the children of God. He gave it as a gift. It's not something I worked for, earned, or deserved, but it's a gift. Again, as parents and grandparents, think about the joy you had when you gave Christmas gifts to your kids last week. How much it brightened your day to see their faces glow with excitement and happiness. That's what your Father in heaven, that's how he looks down upon you today. See, last month was pretty amazing. It's pretty cool. I love Christmas. I love the Christmas and Advent season. I love the music. I love the music we played here every week in church. Praise God for the music we had today. Let's give our praise band another round of applause. I mean, that first song, you came in and said, hey, we're like filled with the joy of the Lord today. I was like, hey, we really are filled with the joy of the Lord today. This place is rocking this morning. I mean, God blessed us on what could be in a lot of churches a sleepy New Year's Day after maybe we've stayed up really late and heard a lot of fire. I don't know about you. Maybe you heard a lot of fireworks that kept you up even later than you wanted to be. But, you know, we came in and we were filled with the joy of the Lord this morning. You know, this last month, families being together, seeing my daughter and her joy on her face, being able to spend extra time with her. You know, it's just beautiful this last month. But sometimes it's hard to remember that in the midst of the miracles that we see at Christmas time in the Christmas story, the shepherds, the manger, the magi, the miraculous birth, no room at the inn, we sometimes forget about the most important miracle of all. In John 1, verse 14, and I forgot to put a slide up, so again, you might go home and look it up on your own. John 1, 14, it says this, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Another translation is, the Word came and moved into my neighborhood. Jesus came and moved into my neighborhood. The foreman who created the Grand Canyon came and was a part of his creation. He became a baby. He was born in Bethlehem. He was placed in a manger. If you saw my tie last week, my wife gave me a hard time because it was the nativity tie. And little baby Jesus wasn't wrapped in his swaddling cloths. He was like shirtless and he was like, meh. And my wife's like, he looks cold. And I said, that's thinking like a mother there, isn't that, you know? Baby Jesus looks cold in the manger. It's not an exact representation. It's not a photograph. Mary's not being an absentee mother. But Jesus got cold. He got sick. He had to wear diapers, and we know what that means. He had all the temptations we had. He had all the temptations to lie, to cheat, to steal, to lust, all of the things that we go through that we're tempted with, he had. But Hebrews says that he was without sin. He took all those infirmities upon his shoulders, but he was without sin so that we could believe and trust in him and be made his child. Those who've put on Christ are his children. Those who've taken the sin that we've got and we put him on instead are his children. Because the real miracle isn't the manger and the shepherds and the no room at the inn and the taxes and all the things that God did. Those are miracles. But the real miracle is the God of the universe. Have you ever seen the movie Aladdin, the cartoon, when he says, you know, infinite cosmic power, itty bitty living space. That's genie, by the way. That's what Jesus did. He had infinite cosmic power, but he was born into a baby with itty-bitty living space. That's a miracle. And he did it for you. And he did it for me because he loves you. Because in Christ, he came down to be with you. Though the world was made through him by his hands, he made you his child. See, words are important. Words are power. The words we hear and we speak shape us. They affect us. They mold us to look like someone. But here's the last question I'll ask in this sermon. Who are you being molded by your words? The words you're seeing and the words you're hearing, as well as the words you're speaking. What are you filling yourself with today? As a chaplain, I go to a lot of group homes, a lot of facilities, and I see a lot of televisions on in these group homes and facilities. And I see CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, you know, fill in the blank of whatever news state, 24-hour news station you're thinking. And you know what I hear? Negative, negative, negative. It's someone's fault. This person should be blamed. That person's bad. If only they would do blah, blah, blah. And I take my person that I'm visiting in that group home and I say, let's go back to your bedroom, shall we? And I take them back to their bedroom. I sit them down in their recliner or on their bed and I say, let me give you some words of life. Because all you've heard today is words that are tearing you down. Tearing the present down, tearing this person down, tearing that person down, fill in the blank. And I share with them words of life, words of hope, words of encouragement, words of peace, words of joy, words that fill them with their identity. And so that's my question. Are you filling yourself with the world's words? Or are you filling yourself with words of truth that give you a godly, healthy view of who you really are? When we hear those words chirping, 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 it's time to turn the TV off and get off Twitter and open our Bibles and hear what the God of the universe says when he says, come to me, my child. Philippians 4, verse 8 says this, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's anything excellent or worthy of praise, think about these things. In our world today, how often do we think of those things? How often do we take the time to say to someone, I'm proud of you. I want to commend you for what you're doing. I want to take a moment to think about how blessed I am by this person or that person or this thing or that thing, and I want to thank them for it. I want to focus on what's beautiful and lovely. I want to focus on what's honorable. You know, who are good models for us and our families that are honorable people to follow instead of constantly tearing down people who we don't want to be like. You see, when the world's trying to get you to believe garbage about yourself and garbage about other people, we turn off the news, and that's when we open our Bibles and hear what God has to say to us. The words of our Heavenly Father who gives us our value and our worth, because Jesus says in John 17:17, your word is truth. Speaking of God's word, your word, Lord, is truth. So I'll ask one last time, what's your resolution? Knowing that God went to such great lengths to you, that Jesus moved into the neighborhood, that he became flesh and blood and moved into an itty-bitty living space, all so that he could make you his child. What will you do with it this year? And how does it change you in 2023? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the words of my lips, Lord, I pray that the peace which passes all understanding would keep and guard all of our hearts and our minds in you. Lord, I thank you that we live in a world where there's a lot of words. There's even more words today than there were at any other time in history with all the things we can read, all the things we can watch, all the things we can hear. We're inundated with words, and oftentimes they're not the right ones. So Lord, today I pray that you would fill us with your words. I pray that you would fill us with your words of hope, your words of peace, your words that build up our identity so we don't seek our identity in the world or in other people, but rather we seek our identity in you. And Lord, today we pray for your comfort and peace as we go forward. Direct us, guide us, and show us where to go in this new year. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people say, amen. At this time, we'll receive our offerings. If you haven't had a chance to fill out the communication card, I encourage you to fill that out, and you can drop that in the offering basket as it goes by.